Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I am Kevin David Thomas.
And this is Our Favorite Things. I don't know why I said it like that.
I like
that.
It like that. That's
do you
good.
Like it like that?
Yeah, no, we should do it like that every time. My favorite things.
My worst.
Do you know? Oh, please. I was just going to say, you know, I still giggle. You know, we ask for people to do our ratings and stuff, and we have that little tag in the front of it.
Yeah.
I still, because I do listen to our Throwback Thursdays, I still laugh at you doing the Paul Lynn, doing Chicks the Goddess, Paul. I mean, Rob, I'm like dying. I called you Paul just now.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Kevin.
It kills me. Oh my God.
I used to do a really good one, and I do not know what happened.
I'd like to see your one-man Paul Lynn show, actually. I think that would be really, really good.
Well, actually, I'm going into Hamilton as Paul Lynn.
If I would give anything for a wrap of that. I want you to work that up, workshop that, and give me like a nice, you know, the opening number or
something
like that.
Well, I'm actually going in for Peggy. Oh. It's just one lyric I have, and I walk away. They go, Eliza and Peggy. And then I just walk off stage. He could be in the room where it happens.
He could. He should be.
He should be in the room where it happens.
Always. Every room.
How does a bastard orphan?
Thank you.
That's how. God, do I love me some Paul
Lynn. You do.
I really do. Center square all the way.
Center square. Speaking of, I mean, can we mention that?
We can. One of our upcoming guests, we just secured him. I'm so excited. Is Peter Marshall, best known probably for hosting Hollywood Squares, but has had a long theatrical career and has worked with some incredible legends himself. In addition to himself being a wonderful legend, I want to ask him about Paul Lynn. I want to ask him
And Charles Maybe. Nelson Riley. Wasn't Charles,
oh, Charles Nelson,
Nelson
Riley.
Was he on there as well? Yeah.
Charles Nelson Riley was Match Game. Dumb Dora was so dumb.
How dumb was she?
Gene Rayburn's real long, thin microphone. I love that. Yes. Cable just out to here. You know what I heard on those shows?
Huh.
That they would film them all in one day. So what they would do is they would do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They would film Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday show, take a huge dinner break, and across the street was a bar. And they would all go over and get plastered and then come back and tape Thursday and Friday shows. So somebody was saying if you watch the show, the later in the week it gets, the sloppier they become.
I love that.
And it's because they were drinking on their break.
They were very comfortable in some episodes. Like just just real, like hanging out.
Well, I always feel bad because then they start to like shoot the contestant in the foot.
Yeah.
Because they're drunk and they just want to make each other laugh. They don't care. This poor nurse from Pacoima is hoping to get $500, and they're making jokes about Betty White to her expense. And I'm like, God bless them. So anyway, that's it. Yeah, so Peter Marshall's going to come on.
I love
that. It's very exciting. Circle gets the square.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin. What's your favorite
thing? I have a book today. I have a book. Now, I must confess that
I wish I could read.
I don't think a lot of people are going to hear this, and I don't think a lot of people are going to go run out and buy this book because it's a very specific book. I would call it a reference book.
Reference book.
Perchance. Not even a coffee table book. It's a reference book.
Okay.
Now, I have definitely read it cover to cover when it came out. It came out in 2004. It needs an update. Definitely needs an update because there have been many cast recordings since 2004.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. we have to thank Theater Mania for in 2004 putting and Michael Portentier, who is a
genius
pioneer of the news and Broadway information getting to the masses. And it's the Theater Mania Guide for Musical Theater Recordings. How specific is that?
I'm obsessed with this book.
I love this book. I literally, I'm going to push my glasses up on my nose and nerd out on you. But when I was on tour with Les Mis, I bought this book. It was like 2004, right when it came out. Definitely, I bought it right away. And back then, I had some money, so I would just buy cash recordings right and left, especially the older stuff. And this book, they had like something like over a dozen people. But people like Ken Bloom, Gerard Alessandrini, the guy who did Forbidden Broadway,
yeah.
Peter Felicia, who we're going to interview very soon. They had a whole roster of legitimate cast recording, I would say, aficionados, who would then – they divvied out all the recordings out there, and they had them all listen to it and review them. So you'd get like a paragraph review, 1 to 5 stars, only a couple 5 stars in there, and of their opinions on these cast recordings. And you had multiple – you would have all of the Jesus Christ Superstars and all of the, Oklahomas and all of that. So it wasn't just the one, Broadway production. It was all of them. And you get little opinions on these recordings. And I read it cover to cover, and I would star all the – I would check the ones that I had. I'm not kidding you. I would check the ones I had, and I would star the ones I'd like. And I still in my wallet to this day – oh, my God, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I wrote a list out on a file card of all the 5-star ones, because if I didn't have the 5-star recording, I felt like Grass Harp, and stuff
that,
or like Most Happy Fella, I was like, I need to get this. So then I would make that list, so I always had it on me. So if I ever if I was ever at a, because I used to go to stores and just look through all the cast albums, of course, and so I would know, of course, and then I would know which ones I didn't have, so I would cross it off my list. And I still have it in my wallet. I don't look at it very often anymore, but yeah,
I think that is incredible.
The book had like an indelible impression on me as a 24-year-old. I'm 35
wonderful.
Now, and it still does.
It is a really a fantastic book, and I do think it should be updated.
It's a really cool book, and what they also do at the beginning, if you remember, they alphabetize it by show title, but then at each, like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, each chapter, like chapter A, it would have like Jerry Herman's favorite shows, and they interviewed all these people, and they would have their favorite ones, and so you would get to see, Jerry Herman loves The Tree Grows in Brooklyn, just like me, and they even include shows like Cheech and Chow, everyone's favorite.
Everyone's favorite.
I love that show. I don't know that show
they
at all.
They talked too much about Oklahoma, but it was really Cheech and Chow.
It was all about Cheech and Chow. But everything from that to Carousel. I mean, it was all of them. And it's a thick, it's a great book. It's big. It's very chronicles everything. Now, anything past 2004, no, you're not going to get. It's not in there. And I would love for them to update it, but there's so many cast recordings now. I mean, it might be hard to, but they did it to begin with. And it was quite an undertaking, I have to say, for them to have truly, as a whole, all 16 of them, listened to every single recording that, for the most part, there. Now, they narrowed it down to Broadway productions. It could have, in other words, if it only stayed in London, they didn't, spend was not in there. Or, like, I'm trying to think.
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, it was like 2003 or 2004 that came out, but or I'm trying to think of other shows like maybe Love from Judy, that show, like,
so that stuff doesn't,
so that
go
kind
in
of
there.
Stuff that never came to Broadway, they don't include per se. And movie musicals, of course, they don't as well, but anything on Broadway and off Broadway too, they do off Broadway recordings
that's
as well.
Really interesting.
So yeah, it's is it something everyone's going to go on Amazon right now and buy? Probably not. But if you're a fan of the musical theater and you're a fan of cast recordings, or if you just want to learn a little bit about some shows that you thought, I didn't even know this show existed, what's Cheech and Chow anyway, this will tell you. And what I also like is that they included shows that never made it to CD. They did like like Donnybrook, they review that, and that was only on record.
Just a record,
and
never
think
been on
maybe
CD.
Now it's been changed, like a Time for Singing, that's now digital, you can get that.
Yeah.
But that used to be a show that you could only get on record. I don't know if they review Angel. I'm gonna say no, because it was not a commercial release. The Angels are a little our holy grail of cast recordings, because you can't find it anywhere.
I should have it on display on
the
wall
somewhere. I thought
you used
to.
I used to, but I was worried somebody was going to steal it, so I blocked it up.
Namely
in the bank.
Me.
Kevin comes, I have to hide my Angels album. Kevin's here, put it away.
Oh God. Yeah, so it's a fun little book, and it was really important to me as a collector,
I think it's a wonderful resource. And if you're a student of musical theater and you're listening to us, I think it's essential for you to have.
Agreed. And Absolutely. Some of the opinions I may agree with and may not agree with,
yeah.
but I still think it's really fun to to read about them, you know?
Like, for example, like for Merrily, they'll list every album that of Merrily We Roll Along that's ever been produced, and they'll usually say that this one is better than the other two.
Yes, exactly.
And that's where the debate comes in, and that's what's exciting.
I love it.
You know, we love debating this stuff the same way people who love sports, you know, who is the best baseball player?
Totally.
You know, and I would say Joe Hardy.
Yeah, good. I just listened to Damn Yankees, actually.
Did you really?
That's so good. Every song's a hit tune.
Yeah, I feel I know more about sports through musicals than I do about actual, you know. Thank God for Damn Yankees. I would know nothing about baseball.
Strike three, ball four. Okay, there we go.
I got it. Yeah. I know what's happening.
Now I know what's going on.
I know what's happening. Good for the Senators this year.
Oh, my God. So what do you have
today? Oh, mine.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Mine this year. Are you kidding me? Mine this year, and then I'm going to retire. I hibernate till I can get a ticket to Hamilton. Don't wake me.
Exactly.
1997. So we're getting a little bit 90s now.
Yeah.
Get out my, you know, denim and frosted tips.
I had frosted tips.
John Kander, Fred Ebb.
Oh, yeah.
You know what it is?
Steel Pier.
Absolutely. Yeah. Steel Pier.
Yeah. Forgotten, I would say a score that maybe people don't associate always with Kander and Ebb.
You know
they forget.
What? It never gets produced anywhere.
Well, I think it'd be hard to, right? Because it's so many dancers.
It's very difficult. For those of you who don't know, Steel Pier is one of the last Kander and Ebb shows where John Kander, Fred Ebb was still alive for it. We didn't really have.
That's right.
Because the ones since 2004 on.
They wrote Scottsdale Boys, but he was deceased. We'll talk about that another day.
Yep, was Curtin's, deceased. Yep. The Visit deceased.
That's right.
So Steel Pier is one of the last where he's still around to witness what's going on. It's John Kander, Fred Ebb, and it's a musical about 1930s dance marathons, which it was originally based on a movie called They Shoot Horses, Don't They? Which is a fantastic movie.
What a title.
Which was about these individuals who, in order to earn some extra money during the Depression, would go to these all-night dance marathons.
Which existed? I mean, I don't
they
know much
totally
about these
existed.
Dance
and
marathons.
The rules would be the contestants must dance for 45 minutes every hour, followed by a 15-minute break. If they fall, collapse, or for any reason stop dancing, they will be disqualified. And
Amazing.
It was great. You would get a nice check out of it. And so in the Depression, it was a good way to earn money, but you needed to have stamina. And these things would go on 24 hours, 48 hours. So there was no sleep. There was no eating. You had to constantly be on your feet. And it wasn't just like waltzing and tangoing. It was every single energetic dance you could think of. And so they made a movie about it in the 70s. And the movie, if you've never seen it, stars Jane Fonda. It's really good. It's a really good movie. So Kander and Ebb tried to get the rights to that. They were denied the rights to that. So they created their own movie, their own musical with a similar concept, except they added an other world element to it, which is there is a pilot whose plane was down, and the ghost of this pilot returns to make amends with the girl that he stood up years ago. And the woman's played by Karen Ziemba.
Yeah.
The pilot was played by a really, really wonderful actor named Daniel McDaniel, who's since passed.
Oh, I don't know him.
He passed a few years ago. And it's a really wonderful show. Karen Ziemba plays this girl who was called Lindy's Lovebird. She was supposed to be the first girl that Charles Lindbergh kissed when he returned back from his trip, and that's her notoriety and her fame.
She's a true triple threat, just to cite
Karen Ziemba.
Karen Ziemba, yeah, a great, fantastic dancer in her own right, and a singer-actress. Yeah.
She can do no wrong. Yeah. She can also do no wrong. her performance on the recording is heartbreaking. Mm. And you can sense the pain. You can sense her ache. You can sense her loneliness. It's the first musical Kristen Chenoweth was ever in.
Yeah.
Deborah Monk is in it. She sings a song called Everybody's Girl.
Everybody loves that song.
Gregory Harrison, TV star. He's been in a few musicals as well. Mm-hmm. He plays the guy who presides over the dance marathon. He's very sadistic.
Right.
It's a really, really good, good musical.
The choreography, was it by...
Yeah, Stroman? Susan Stroman.
Yeah.
And the choreography, that's why I think it's complicated.
It's got to be amazing.
Which you need about 30 people. They all need to be incredible dancers.
Yeah.
And they have to go through every single dance vocabulary style from the 1930s imaginable. And it's a really, really good show. Songs that you might know would be First You Dream, Everybody's Girl, Second Chance.
And Willing to Ride.
Willing to Ride, which is the Karen Ziemba's big song at the beginning of the show. The problem, they say, with Steel Pier was... It was just coming off of Chicago. So Chicago, the revival of Chicago.
Right.
So, which was very dark, which was very cynical. And then the revival of Cabaret was starting to percolate, which was also very dark, very cynical. And so in the middle of all this comes Steel Pier, which is actually a very optimistic show. In a lot of ways.
Same songwriting team for those who may be
under
a rock.
Sorry.
But Kander like Chicago and Cabaret are both by Kander Neff, obviously.
And the idea, most of the reviews kept saying was when they stick to cynicism and they stick to exposing society's flaws and humanity's flaws, they're great. We really don't want to hear their cheery stuff. And I think they were unfairly compared to their own work.
Wow.
And I think that's why the show... didn't really succeed the way they were supposed to. And also, I had heard this, and I don't know if this is true, and if somebody out there knows the answer to this, I would love to know. Apparently in previews, you did not know that the pilot was dead. And it was only until at the closing curtain of Act 1 did they reveal he was a ghost the whole time.
So next to normal.
And as I understand it, the creative team was concerned, and they made it very clear at the beginning he was a ghost. Mm. So there really wasn't any tension. And there really was nothing to get you back. You know, at the end of Act 1, you always want to have something that takes you into Act 2,
right.
A cliffhanger, and they didn't really feel there was a cliffhanger at the end of Act 1, so why come back?
Right.
And that was the issue that was going on. So mine this week is Steel Pier. It only ran 76 performances. I'm hoping it'll come back. At some point. I think it's a great show. It's a great score. You know, if you love Kander and Ebb, I think this is a great one to look at.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's mine. Steel
Pier. The Theater Mania Guide to Musical Theater Recordings.
What a fun... You're going to have a fun week ahead.
So get that book and look up Steel Pier.
I'm Rob Schneider.
I'm Kevin David Thomas.
We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.